ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamil, Text 19. Sakrit Manaha Krishna Para Aravindayo Niveshitam Tat Gunaragi Yai Iha Na Te yamam pashabritaha cha tat batan svapne api pashyanti chirna niskritaha saklinmana krishna padaravindayor Niveshitam tad gunaragi yar iha Nate yamam pashabritascha tad bratan Svapne pipasyanti hir chirna niskritaha Sakrinmana krishna padaravindayor Niveshitam tad gunaragi yar iha Nate yamam pashabritashta tad batan Svapne pipasyantihi chirna nishkritaha Sakrinmana krishna padaravindayor Niveshitam tad gunaragi yar iha Nate yamam pashabritashta tad batan Svapne pipashyanti hi chirna nishkritaha Vaishnavis, ladies, Matajis, they can't see, it's too far away? Really? There should be arrangement. Yeah. You can't see? Nobody can see the board? Okay. Sakrit, once only. Manaha, the mind. Krishna para aravindayo. Unto the two lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Viveshitam, completely surrendered. Tat, of Krishna. Gunaragi, which is somewhat attached to the qualities, name, fame, and paraphernalia. Yai, by whom? Iha, in this world. Na, not. Te, such persons. Yamam, Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. Pashabritaha, those who carry ropes to catch sinful persons. Cha, and. Tat, his. Batan, order carriers. Svapne api, even in dreams. Pashyanti, see. He, indeed. Chirna nishkritaha, who have performed the right form of atonement. Actually, the right type of atonement. Translation. Although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely under his lotus feet and who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities, and pastimes are completely freed from all sinful reactions, for they have thus accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamaraj or his order carriers, who are equipped with ropes to bind the sinful. Please repeat. Although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet and who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities, and pastimes are completely freed from all sinful reactions. For they have thus accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamaraj or his order carriers, who are equipped with ropes to bind the sinful. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarva Dharman Parityagya Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sava Papebhyo Mokshayishami Ma Shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. The same principle is described here. Sakrin Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. If by studying Bhagavad Gita, one decides to surrender to Krishna, he is immediately freed from all sinful reactions. It is also significant that Sukadev Goswami, having several times repeated the words Vasudeva Parayana and Narayana Parayana, finally says Krishna Padaravindayo. Thus he indicates that Krishna is the origin of both Narayan and Vasudev. Even though Narayan and Vasudev are not different from Krishna, simply by surrendering to Krishna, one fully surrenders to all his expansions, such as Narayan, Vasudev, and Govinda. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Bhata parataram nanyat, there is no truth superior to me. There are many names and forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is the Supreme Form, Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam. Therefore, Krishna recommends to neophyte devotees that one should surrender unto him only, Mam Ekam. Because neophyte devotees cannot understand what the forms of Narayan, Vasudev, and Govinda are, Krishna directly says, Mam Ekam. Herein, this is also supported by the word Krishna Padaravindayo. Narayan does not speak personally, but Krishna or Vasudev does, as in Bhagavad Gita, for example. Therefore, to follow the direction of Bhagavad Gita means to surrender unto Krishna, and to surrender in this way is the highest perfection of bhakti yoga. So it's a long purport. There's two more pages, so please try to pay attention. Prabhupada thought this was an important verse, so he wrote quite a bit. Pariksit Maharaj had inquired from Shukadeva Goswami how one can be saved from falling into the various conditions of hellish life. In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami answers that a soul who has surrendered to Krishna certainly cannot go to Naraka, hellish existence. To say nothing of going there, even in his dreams, he does not see Yamaraj or his order carriers who are able to take one there. In other words, if one wants to save himself from falling into Naraka, hellish life, he should fully surrender to Krishna. The word Sakrit is significant because it indicates that if one sincerely surrenders to Krishna once, he is saved, even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful activities. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhur eva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. If one never for a moment forgets Krishna, he is safe, even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful acts. In the second chapter, Bhagavad Gita 2:40, the Lord also says, Deha bikramana sovsti pratyavayo navijate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Elsewhere in the Gita 6:40, the Lord says, Nahi kalyana krit kashchid durgatim tata gacchati. One who performs auspicious activity is never overcome by evil. The highest kalyana, auspicious activity, is to surrender to Krishna. That is the only path by which to save oneself from falling down into hellish life. Srila Prabhohananda Saraswati has confirmed this as follows. Karvayam narak yate chidasha purala akasha pushpayate durdantandriya karasarpapatali prokata damstayate vishvam purna sukhayate vidhi mahendra dishtikitayate katkarunya kataksha vaibhavavavtam tam gurum eva stumaha. The sinful actions of one who has surrendered unto Krishna are compared to a snake with its poison fangs removed. Prokhata damstrayate. Such a snake is no longer to be feared. Of course, one should not commit sinful activities on the strength of having surrendered to Krishna. However, even if one who has surrendered to Krishna happens to do something sinful because of his former habits, such sinful actions no longer have a destructive effect. Therefore, one should adhere to the lotus feet of Krishna very tightly and serve him under the direction of the spiritual master. Thus, in all conditions, one will be akuto bhaya, free from fear. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om ganatamyandasha janan anjana shalakaya chakshur ummanitamina tasmaye shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasadi gaur bhaktivinoda hare krishna 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 hare hare Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hari Hari. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So in the fifth canto, just before this verse, we're 19 verses into the sixth canto. So in the fifth canto, one of the major sections in that part of the Bhagavatam is the description of hell. So many different explanations and visions are described of what it is like to suffer the reactions of sinful activities. And we can see in the world today, people are performing many, 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 many sinful activities. The society in general is very focused on thinking meat eating is okay so we can kill the animals. Abortion is okay, it should be a right so we can kill so many babies. Intoxication, just like I just landed yesterday in Mumbai, you come past the customs, the first thing there is a big liquor shop. And everywhere else you go in the world, big, big things. Liquor and cigarettes. You can buy, no tax, special concession from the government, duty free, to make it a little less cheap. Of course, it's absurdly expensive, but people think, no, no, this is the fruit of my hard work. I can make so much money and I can buy very expensive intoxicants. I can share these with my friends. But these things, ultimately, they're very harmful in this life and in the future. So, Sukadeva Goswami described the hellish punishment. And Pariksit Maharaj, in this canto, he's, as a great Vaishnava, he's naturally feeling so much compassion. He's heard of so many hellish things that one might have to suffer. So he asks his spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami, how does one escape from these things? Now that we understand how terrible it is, how does one escape? So Shukadeva Goswami says you have to perform atonement, and he describes that in a verse or two. And then Pariksit Maharaj, he actually rejects this idea. He says, no, I don't think that will work. And Prabhupada describes elsewhere, maybe in these purports too, he says that actually, Sukadeva Goswami, he was testing his disciple. He offered him the answer that wasn't right, atonement, to see what Sukadeva Goswami would respond. And of course, he said famously, it's not sufficient to just atone for the sins. It's just like if somebody breaks something, okay, you clean up the mess, but you haven't resolved the original problem, which is you broke something. So you have to do more than just clean up the mess. So people are thinking like that. Okay, you do some sin, you perform some atonement, wipe clean the reaction. But Sukadeva Goswami says this is just like the elephant who takes a bath and then throws dirt on his back, right? Example, very clear example for us. And therefore, what good is it? And he goes on to describe that one has to undergo a purification of the heart. So, in this way, in this canto, he said several verses here about the potency of Krishna's name and of the purifying effect of surrendering unto him. So this is what we're studying now, about the potency of the Lord's name. And then in a few verses, he'll begin this explanation of the story of Ajamil as this powerful example of the potency of the Lord's name. So here in today's purport, Prabhupada is quoting several Gita verses and other sources. He quotes Shrila Prabhudhananda Saraswati, He quotes from the 9th chapter of Gita, the 2nd chapter of Gita, to the 6th chapter of Gita, to further emphasize the potency of surrendering to Krishna and the potency of Krishna's holy name. And of course we know for Vaishnavas, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this emphasis on chanting the holy name is given a special importance, because this was the emphasis given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our entire Sampradaya. And of course Prabhupada, he went to the West and then around the world based on his conviction that by the potency of Krishna's name, anyone and everyone can become purified. Just like in this back corner here, there's a diorama of Prabhupada standing amidst many young people in New York City, the center of sinful activity of the world. And he's standing in a very, very aristocratic manner. And by all of these young people who just minutes before entering the kirtan, if not hours or days, were doing all kinds of abominable activities. And when they left the kirtan, they continued with their abominable activities. But Prabhupada had faith in the order of Krishna and the Bhagavatam and Lord Chaitanya that no, the holy name can counteract all of these sinful activities, and even these people can become Vaishnavas. And we see the history in the movement is there that those same young people, not all of them, but many of them, those that came and stayed, they became purified, they took up the mission. I was recently in Russia, and then in South America, and then in Africa. And each of these places you go, there was one or two or three of Prabhupada's young disciples, many of them only been Vaishnavas for a few years, but who on the strength of faith in Prabhupada's teaching and the holy name, they went to these countries with nothing. Sometimes just as Prabhupada went to America with just, $7 worth of rupees, yes, a few, which he couldn't even change. So Prabhupada had no support. Jai Shri Shri Radha Rasa Vihara, Shri Shri Chaitanya Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Bonitai. So in the same way, Prabhupada's disciples, the next generation, they also went so many places around the world and began the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So you go there today to South Africa, to Kenya, to Ghana, to Nigeria, to Argentina, to Brazil, to Russia, so many places, not every country, but almost every country, maybe every country, but definitely most countries. Today there are Vaishnavas chanting the Lord's name, sharing this process with others based on these instructions given by Sukadev Goswami, Prabhupada's faith in them, and our practical experience that it works. We see the practical experience that by chanting we're becoming purified, we're becoming gradually attracted to the Lord, and losing our attraction to this material energy. So Prabhupada in his purport is further emphasizing the importance of chanting, the importance of surrendering to Krishna. And this reminds me of another section of the Bhagavatam. In the first canto, in the teachings of Queen Kunti, it's also explained about the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And there, also in the text and the purport, Prabhupada makes the same point. And the verse makes the same point, that by chanting Krishna's name, one can become freed from all sin. And Prabhupada writes in his purport, this is a fact that we don't necessarily can't comprehend, but it's a fact. But then he says, there's a quality in that purport. He says, but, there is a quality required for this chanting as well. And it explains that one should chant in a feeling of helplessness or total dependence upon the Lord and be in this mood of akinchana gochara, one who is materially exhausted. So it's explained, if we are still thinking, well, I can take some shelter of my physical strength or my intellectual rigor, or my family, or my bank balance, or my beauty, or my strength, or my college degrees, or my position in the office, or any of these material things. These are prohibitions to us being able to chant sincerely. They minimize our ability to chant sincerely. Because we're thinking, well, okay, Krishna's there, but I have my own resources. So I'll take a little shelter of Krishna, and I'll take a little shelter of material energy, and this way I'll balance everything nicely. But according to Queen Kunti and Sukadeva Goswami and Prabhupada and all our acharyas, as long as we're in this in-between point, our position is not so assured. After all, we are marginal energy. We go under the spiritual energy and we go under the material energy. Practically, if we're a little self-reflective or a little analytical, we can watch ourselves during the day going under the spiritual energy and under the material energy. We come sometimes and we look at the deities and we feel some devotion. We pray to them with some sincerity. Oh, please let me surrender. The next moment some person, some other Vaishnava comes and in their enthusiasm bumps into us or pushes into us, and immediately what happens? Do we think, oh, another Vaishnava far greater than I am has come. Let me move out of the way. Is that what comes to our mind? Not very often. Usually we think, who is this person bumping into me as I pray to Krishna? How dare they? Isn't it? Within a split second, we may not even like that thought. We may not accept that thought, but it comes. So in this way, again, the material energy is pushing us, trying to make us forget. No, no, no. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. It's not that I'm the servant of Krishna and this person is something else. No. This is the servant of Krishna. I am their servant. We're not so fixed in that 24 hours a day. So therefore, it's described, to feelingly chant the Lord's name, one must do so in this mood of akinchana gochara, feeling oneself materially exhausted. And this is not such an easy thing because we have been habituated for many, many births, no one can say how long, into thinking that I am in control. I am the enjoyer. I am powerful. I am capable of taking care of myself. And I just have to apply my intelligence a little bit more, apply my physical strength a little bit more, apply my ability to manipulate the material energy a little bit more, then everything will be pukka. So this is the materialistic mentality, but it still enters into our minds because we're not yet fully surrendered to Krishna. But by the grace of Krishna, by the grace of Guru, by the grace of all the acharyas and all of the Lord's avatars and all of the Vaishnavas and all of the saints throughout history, they are coming and reminding us, no, 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 this isn't the way to be happy. And also by the grace of Maya Devi herself, she's always reminding us, isn't it? She's very kind. Everyone sitting in this room right now at this moment has at least one pain you are experiencing. Some of it's at your elbow, someone at your stomach, someone at your mind, someone at your ear, somebody at your knee, somebody at something else, someone at anxiety about something that's going to happen today, someone else's anxiety about what's going to happen tomorrow, someone else's anxiety about a friend, someone's in anxiety about a relative, someone's in anxiety about money, everyone in the room. If we made a list, it would probably be a mile long. So many problems, so many anxieties. Those are also the mercy of the Lord. Because they're there to remind us, again, akinchana gochara. There's no shelter here. There's no shelter. But the false ego, the mind, leads us to think, no, 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 I have some other shelter. So therefore, when we chant to Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, our mind wanders. We think of those things that bring us pleasure. We think of those things that we want to push away. We think of the past good things or bad things. We think of the future things. We think of someone who maybe we still think is our enemy. We think of someone who's our friend. We think of some future gratification for the tongue or for the eye. We're so distracted because we're not yet convinced of the need to take shelter of Krishna. But here, in order to convince us, this history is being told that no, Doesn't matter how conditioned we are. Doesn't matter how sinful we were in the past. Doesn't matter how high or low we may be in material estimation. If we fully surrender to Krishna, if we exclusively depend upon Krishna, then we will be purified. And by that surrender and by that calling out to the name of the Lord, we will never see Yamaraj. He will never send his representatives to see us. But as Prabhupada said, there's a quality to that. There's a quality. So these verses, this description, they are an opportunity for us. They are a reassurance for us. But they're also a warning to us. They're a warning that we should be very careful. We don't take this mercy of Krishna, or we don't take our position at the lotus feet of Prabhupada and our gurus and the deities. We don't take these things cheaply. We don't take these things for granted. Just like sometimes a young man or woman is born in a wealthy family. They take it for granted. Instead of using the opportunity that money gives them to improve their life spiritually and in a pious way materially, they abuse it. Oftentimes, they be the sons and daughters of the wealthy class, oftentimes they become the most degraded. Not always, of course, but too many times. So the same way, I was looking at the newspaper on the airplane just yesterday, picked up a newspaper in Britain to see what's going on in England. And I opened the page and there was a story about some new drama that's being performed on the stage in London. And the drama is about a spy, a true story about some spies in England in the 1960s. And they had the picture of the people that actually were involved. There was some woman who was a spy for the Russians who had an illicit relationship with a British government official, and all became public. So he lost his job. It became a big, big, big crisis 50 years ago. So now it becomes a drama. People want to go somehow enjoy this crazy scene in the theater. But the point is, they had a picture of the beautiful young woman when she was a spy. And then they had a picture of the woman today, 50 years later. It looked like going from a swan to a hog. It was unbelievable, the decay of this particular lady's body. Of course, we all go through the same thing. But I was just thinking, such illusion, this government official, out of the desire to enjoy with this woman, gave up everything, lost his job, lost his career, became a traitor to his country, just out of his attraction to this woman, who within a few years, I mean, she was obviously Krishna's special arrangement to show people thinking about it. Her body had just become abominable. Then she went from total beauty queen. And then I was thinking also, in this beautiful woman, who could have used her beauty to attract a nice husband, to have a nice partnership for spiritual life. Instead, she cheated herself. The politician cheated himself. She cheated herself because instead of using, you know, beauty is a gift of God. It's also a gift of God. Money, opulence, those are gifts of God to help us make progress in spiritual life. But instead of understanding, oh, Krishna gave me this beauty, let me use it to find some pious person, some religious person. We can marry, we can have a nice family, we can make spiritual progress. Instead, she thought, oh, I have so much beauty, now I have power. I can use my beauty. The Russians, they'll pay me so much money, and I can cheat this British government official and steal in so many ways. But at the end, it's finished for her too. She's so unattractive, and when she dies, who knows what hell she'll go to. So, just before our eyes, we see these things happening. So it's not just in the scripture, theoretical. We see these things happening day in and day out in front of us. So it's a warning to us that we should not take this opportunity, these benedictions, cheaply. The fact that by chanting Krishna's names, our heart become purified means we have to be careful how we chant Krishna's name. Because the world is full, Kali Yuga, it's the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It's almost like quarrel is there for the common people. Hypocrisy, it's almost especially meant for the religious people. There's too much hypocrisy in the name of religion in the world. And we see it everywhere. We see Christians, we see Muslims, we see Hindus, we see Vaishnavas. So many people who are thinking, we're the best. We're the best, and therefore we can do anything. Any nonsense. People think like that. We're saved. We're chosen. We're the highest. We're the best. We're the servants of God. No one else is a servant of God. Only I. I'm the servant of God. I met a man one time years and years ago distributing books. And he was with a particular religious tradition. And he was telling me, this book is nonsense. I said, well, what do you believe? He said, I'm a, you know, such and such a faithful person. I said, well, is everyone who believes your religion, will they all go to God? Oh, no, not everyone. I said, well, what about this particular tradition, you know, Sampradaya denomination? What about them? Oh, no, 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 only my tradition. I said, okay, what about those people within your particular house of worship? Will they all be saved? No, 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 only a few. So anyone outside of his tradition is finished. Anyone who's a little different than his tradition is finished. Even within his tradition, they're finished. We say the opposite. We say, no, no, every single soul can return to Krishna. We just have to choose that. We have to make that choice. And if we make that choice, then we have to gradually make the choice to give up the material energy. But if we say we're surrendering to Krishna, but we're not endeavoring day in and day out, as Prabhupada says again and again in today's purport, to be fully surrendered, well, then these benefits aren't there. If we're partially surrendered, we get partial benefits. If we're partially remembering Krishna, we get partial purification. Just like Prabhupada says, if one never for a moment forgets Krishna, there may be one person in this room, but chances are most of us, that's not our position, to never for a moment forget Krishna. Prabhupada says, if we do, then we are safe. Even if by chance we fall down by committing sinful acts, if we never for a moment forget Krishna. But if we do forget Krishna from moment to moment, we have to continue on very diligently in the process of devotional service and remain humble, understanding, not to think, oh, I've chanted Krishna's names, all my sins are eradicated, whatever I do doesn't matter. Prabhupada says it, purport, Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami, Kijai. Everyone else is a rascal but me and a few other people. That's nonsense. That's the source of Kali Yuga hypocrisy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, one who says they're a devotee, but who doesn't follow strictly the rules and regulations, they're simply a nuisance in society. They're a disturbance in society. And we can see the whole world is disturbed by people who claim to be spiritual, who claim to be religious, who claim to be the servants of God, but they're not. They're using that for some pretension. So among the Vaishnava community, we have to be so much more careful. There's one story I heard recently. Prabhupada was on an airport, in an airplane, flying with some of his disciples. And some men sitting nearby were, I think in those days, smoking, making some noise, some disturbance. So the disciple asked the flight attendant, please tell them to stop. So they did. But in a few minutes later, they began again. Whatever, smoking, making the noise, this, that. So the disciple got disturbed and started to stand up to go say something to them. Prabhupada stopped him. He said, if we cannot tolerate, what is the difference between us and them? So we can wear our sikha, you know. In America, it's a little expensive. It costs you $15 to get a haircut like this. But it's relatively cheap, right? In Mumbai, maybe what, 20 rupees, yeah? You get a nice razor cut. Very cheap. Okay, the thread, even cheaper. The tilak, free. No cost. Isn't it? The tulsi beads, okay, cost you a few rupees. Okay, very cheap. The externals are very cheap. But the change of heart, that's what counts. That's what makes the difference. And it's not because someone wears a certain type of dress or chants a certain name, right? Every religious tradition in the world takes the name of God. Even the Buddhists, they don't believe in God, but they take the name of Buddha. by Buddha's grace, isn't it? So they all take in the name of God. And here these verses describe, by taking the name of God, one can be purified. But there's a quality needs to be there. Not that we think, oh, I have Krishna. Prabhupada said, even the Goswamis, the six Goswamis, they're living in Vrindavan. But they're thinking and they're writing, where is Krishna? Prabhupada says this in several places. They never said, I have Krishna. They always said, where is Krishna? When will I see Krishna? When will I be with Krishna? So in the same way, we have to maintain this mood of humility. Not that we think, I have Krishna. Because then we can become proud. So the warning is there to be very careful, to make sure, as Prabhupada says, make sure that we adhere tightly to the lotus feet of Krishna. And the opportunity is also very clear that even though we may be the most sinful people, we live in the most sinful age, our minds may be so disturbed, sometimes they're like tsunamis. Isn't it? Sometimes the mind's a little peaceful, other times you think, Krishna, how is it possible to be a devotee with a mind like mine? How is it possible? Why do you even let me walk in the temple with the kind of terrible thoughts that I'm thinking? But Krishna is so kind, and the acharyas are so kind, that they know, even though we're so sinful, if we're sincere, and if we try, if we go on trying to chant in a humble mood, in a mood of trying to surrender to Krishna, then we'll become purified. And we all experience this. You know, it comes and goes, isn't it? We all wish spiritual life went like this, but I don't think it does. It tends to go like this, isn't it? To explain, just like if you go to climb a mountain, from the bottom of the mountain you see the peak, and then you start up and you reach the first peak, but then all of a sudden it goes down again, and then it goes up again, and then it goes down and up and down and up. So you have to keep going through those difficult times. Through the time, sometimes you feel like maybe I'm not even making progress. But if you keep walking, you're making progress. So if we continue chanting, continue practicing our spiritual, our sadhana, then we will continue to make progress. So in this age, sometimes we feel, what is the hope? How is it possible? There's such a contaminated background. We're inclined to so many nonsense things. But these verses are telling us, no, by the potency of the holy name, we can all become purified. And Prabhupada said, we should remember spiritual life is like a razor's edge. We have to be very, very careful. But if we're careful, if we avoid offenses, if we practice our sadhana very attentively, we avoid the pulling of the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. You know, ignorance wants us to just give it up and be lazy. Passion, we want some fruit of results very quickly. Sadhana is not about fruit of results very quickly. It's about gradual, ongoing, steady, humble persistence in the process. And gradually, we've seen our hearts become cleansed. So, we see that if we are not careful, even very, Prabhupada writes in the purports, he uses this term, many stalwarts on the path are sometimes overcome by the material energy. So how does a stalwart on the path become overcome? They're a little inattentive, right? If we're inattentive in our chanting, we're inattentive in our bhakti, we're inattentive in our service to devotees, our service to the deities. A little inattention, Prabhupada says, whoop, like a razor, bloodshed can come. So in this way, these verses are simultaneously encouraging us, yes, no matter how bad our situation may be, no matter how bad our background, no matter how disturbed our senses may be, no matter how nonsense our mind may be, the power of the holy name is so great that by fully surrendering to Krishna, we're completely purified. And at the same time, understanding, coming to that stage of being fully surrendered is a process. We have to be steady and determined in that process. And therefore, Prabhupada concludes, one should adhere to the lotus feet of Krishna very tightly and serve him under the direction of the spiritual master. Thus, in all conditions, one will be akutobaya, free from fear. So he will deliver us no matter how fallen we may be, but we need to take steady, tight shelter of Krishna and the lotus feet of our spiritual masters and the holy name. In this way, we have no fear. But if we prematurely start thinking, oh, I've achieved the mercy of Krishna. I'm very special. I'm very advanced. I know more than anyone else. No one else in the world is chanting as nicely as I am. No other people in the world are getting any mercy from God. Only me. Only in the Juhu Beach temple. Chaupati, we don't know. Mayapur, we're not sure. The Americans, we know. No question. The Russians, maybe. Depends if they keep their foreign aid coming. Then maybe there's hope, you know. Or whatever stupid things our mind may think. But we should think, no, every soul has a chance to surrender to Krishna, as do I. And He will deliver me if I continue to take shelter of Him. But if I become a little proud, no pride in the spiritual world. Even the gopis, a little pride, Krishna disappeared. Even Radharani, how is it possible? According to the 10th canto, a little pride, Krishna disappeared. So what to speak of us? What to speak of us? So we have a few minutes. I'll stop if there's any questions or comments anyone would like to make. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It's understood. Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I am a victim of a newspaper reading. Even though I don't do a temple, when I go home...
Hold it closer to your mouth. Yes.
I am a victim of newspaper reading. You see, even though I don't do it in the temple, as soon as I go home, even though I don't want to read, somehow or other, you know, I am addicted to newspaper reading. Can you give me some tips how to give up newspaper reading?
First, if that's your worst sin, I take shelter of your feet. If that is your worst problem, I fall at your feet and ask for your mercy. I would suspect there's other things more important for you to pray to be free from. But and I would ask you, why are you reading the newspaper? Is it to help you in your service to Krishna? And if so, it's okay. If you're reading that newspaper simply for some sense gratification, to look at some pretty things or to... just because you are thrilled by thinking about how powerful the politicians are or the Bollywood leaders, then you should understand it pollutes your mind and cancel the subscription. You have a subscription? How do you get the newspaper? Does it just fall out of the sky by Indra gives it to you every morning? How do you get the newspaper? How does it come? Your grandfather left you in the will? This newspaper must come every day. In America, you have to pay for newspapers. Right? In India, they give them free. So who's paying for the newspaper? So three things. One, it's not such a serious problem. Two, if you find it's bothering you, then you should read it for Krishna. Don't read the nonsense sections. Read whatever you can if you need to know what's going on in the world for your preaching. Okay, I gave an example of a newspaper. You know, I look through my service. I have to. I have to be aware of what's going on. But if it's disturbing you, then just stop it. Cancel the subscription. Don't buy the newspaper. It's your choice. Okay.
Hare Krishna, I will keep
trying. And I pray that's my. If that was my worst problem, I would be very happy. So you're very fortunate. So don't worry. Go on chanting, and you'll lose all desire to read the newspaper. Okay? At least read a good newspaper. Don't read the trash newspapers. I've seen in Mumbai there's more sattvic and there's more rajarshik and there's more tamic. So at least choose a newspaper that's not 18 pages of Bollywood. Okay? Unless you're preaching to the Bollywood stars and you need to know who's winning which award, then you can do it for Krishna. But if that's not your seva, then maybe avoid that one. Okay? Okay.
Hare Krishna Guruji. In the purport it is said, even in dream also someone will think that I want to surrender.
Yes.
So how exactly this? Even in dream, if someone... Yeah.
Again, same requirement though. One who is fully surrendered to Krishna gets that much protection. One who is fully surrendered to Krishna. The two sides are there. So much mercy is there. if we're fully surrendered to Krishna. If we're not fully surrendered to Krishna, because what does it mean surrendering to Krishna? Surrendering to Krishna means I fully want to go back to Him. And if we fully want to go back to Him, He promises, no matter what your situation is, I will fully take you back. But if one kind of wants Krishna and kind of wants Maya, then he will kind of give himself and kind of give us Maya. Prabhupada says, man proposes, God disposes. The whole world, 8 million. I mean, Krishna makes a very, very elaborate arrangement for us. You know, you go to some very expensive resort. Maybe they have 500 rooms, maybe 1,000 rooms. You know, you can go swimming, you can play tennis, you can go golf. Maybe there's 100 different things you can do. Krishna gives 8,400,000 different ways to enjoy this world. He's so kind. You want to forget Him, He gives so much variety. And we can stay forever. Millions of planets we can go to. So if we want that, He also is fulfilling those desires. That's His giving us that free will. So the problem is we're like, well, see? But by the mercy of the Guru, He gives us this little knowledge. No, this is nonsense. And then we start thinking, maybe it's nonsense. So we come to the temple, we taste some prasadam, and we hear a kirtan or a class, and we think, maybe this is better.
Yeah.
Maybe. Isn't it? So we go back and forth for a while. We see this so many times, devotees, congregational members, sometimes people that live in ashrams, they're very enthusiastic for 1 week, 1 month, 6 months, then they go away. Sometimes you don't see those people for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and then they come back again, and they pick it up. And then they go out again, and then they come back again. Same way in our minds, back and forth and back and forth. It's like spiritual and material table tennis, ping pong. Ping, pong, ping, pong, ping, pong, isn't it? And Krishna's just there in the heart. Paramatma's there. Okay, which one do you want? Krishna, I want you. No, I want this material fruit. I'll end with that nice story. Prabhupada says, in one lecture, he said, Krishna's job is very difficult. He gave the example. He said, just like the householder, he's praying every night, dear God, please do not let the thief come and steal from my house. And outside in the bushes, the thief is praying, dear God, please let me steal from this house and not get caught. So in the same way, I remember sometime one devotee years ago gave a class. He said, yes, our prayer is like this. Dear Lord, please let me surrender to you, but not just yet. Isn't it? So Krishna is showing us, okay, here's the little spiritual happiness, here's material. He's trying to give us the choice. So we have to make the proper choice. And these verses are explaining to us when we make that proper choice, He'll give full facility. Have no doubt. This is what Sukadeva Goswami is saying. In the middle, there's some doubt. Krishna, are you going to protect me? Well, I will if you want me. But if we want Sukaduka, well, where do you get Sukaduka? If we want to be attached to birth, death, old age, and disease, we're going to get that. We get attached to this body or some other body. The laws of material nature are there. Old age, disease, and death, that's not going to change. But if we take shelter of Him, poof, He'll take us back to Him. So it's a gradual process. We should be patient. We should be determined. We should have faith. We should never give up hope. And we should not become too harsh on ourselves. Sometimes devotees, we become too critical. You know, I very much appreciate the spirit of your question. At the same time, we shouldn't discourage ourselves. We have to look and see what's the dirt in our heart and then pull it out. Not that we see what's the dirt and we say, what can be done? No. We look at the dirt and then we know by chanting, Krishna will take away the dirt. Okay? Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. Yudhve Sanuttama Prabhu ki jai.